Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning. My name is Ashley Jackson. I'm the Next Gen Director here at Fairhaven. And I'm excited to start 2025 off with all of you this morning. It's crazy to me that it's 2025. And I don't know about you, but at the end of every year, I love to just kind of reflect on the things that have happened throughout the year. And I love to just kind of see where did God move? What were some of the memories we made? And so if you saw how many photos I have on my phone, you would think I'm insane. But I just love looking back at the memories. And so my husband told me I always show a picture of Eliza when I preach, but she's so cute. How can you not? And so this is a picture of her last Christmas, and this is her this Christmas. We are working on the smile, but she's precious. And so I just couldn't believe how big she'd gotten. And it really made me think about the growth that I have seen this year in so many ways, in my marriage, in my family, in our church, in our ministries, and also made me think about some really tough things that we walked through as a family, that I walked through with friends. The end of the year tends to do that. We had something really exciting happen in our family. We have another little girl on the way in April. So no, I did not just have too many cookies this holiday. I mean, I did. But just in case you're wondering, because I know no one asks the question, but yes, we are having another baby. And I'm very excited about that. And that was just another way that this year just made me kind of think about the story of my life, the story that my life is telling. And so I wonder, with all of you this morning, have you ever considered the story that your life is telling? Imagine if somebody decided to make your life into a movie. What might that look like? Would it be a story of fun and grace and kindness? Would it be more like a chaotic drama with ups and downs and struggle? Some moments of anger or frustration? What would your movie look like? What about the things that nobody knows about? What if that were playing on the big screen? Terrifying. And to take it a step further, what if somebody else actually got to pick the clips for your movie? Maybe somebody close to you, maybe somebody that would pick out all the highlights. The awards that you've won, the amazing pieces of your story, the time when you showed kindness and grace to a friend or to a stranger? Or would they pick out some of maybe the things you don't want on the big screen? Would they pick out a time where your anger got the best of you? Where you showed up in a way that you regretted and you wish you hadn't? That your reaction to something, you just wish you could take it back. I'm sure for many of you this morning, and when we think of that question of what would it look like to have our movie up on the screen, we had some pretty uncomfortable things flash through our minds. Some choices we made or some things that we did that we're not proud of, and maybe you also had some incredible moments that you would love up there to share. I wonder if the person picking out those clips was a friend, maybe a roommate, maybe a sibling, maybe even a brother. For me, it's my brother, Parker. Parker has got to live with me since we were babies. He has seen the good, the bad, and the not so good. And there was a moment in my life that I was faced with the question, what story was I really telling through my life? And more importantly, what story was I really telling through my life to the people that mattered the most to me? We'll come back to that in just a little bit. But this morning, we're going to actually jump back into our series in the book of Exodus. We're going to be in chapter 6 this morning, and we're going to go back to our main character, Moses. And we're going to again see that God calls Moses to do something. Now, if you've been around in our series, you've watched Moses so eloquently react in ways that he says, I can't go, or I'm disqualified for this reason. We're going to watch Moses do that again today. So if this is your first Sunday, this is a great way to jump in, because we're going to see Moses continue in this pattern. The words are going to be on the screen, but if you'd like to follow along, there's Bibles in the seat back in front of you. Exodus is the second book of the Bible, so it's right at the beginning. We're going to be in chapter 6, which is the big number, verse 28, which is the small number in the Bible. Let's read it together. It says, "Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, 'I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?'" Immediately, we see Moses again reiterate his hesitation, reiterate his flaws. He says, "I speak with faltering lips. Why would Pharaoh listen to me?" And I love that at the beginning of this verse, God says, "I am the Lord." He's reminding Moses of who he is, because Moses knows that God provides. And God is reminding Moses, "I am the Lord." And still Moses has a moment of hesitation, a moment where he lets his insecurities get the best of him. It goes on to say in chapter 7, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country.'" If you notice the point that says, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh," God is telling Moses, it'll be as if there is a mirror, and when Pharaoh looks at you, he will see me. It'll go on later in the chapter to say for Moses to put out his staff, and God says, it'll be as if it is my hand. He says, it'll be your voice, Moses, Aaron, but it will be my words. "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh." Now, something interesting about this is in the Hebrew, the word "like" is actually not there. But we see this word, Elohim. Essentially, God is telling Moses, you will be God to Pharaoh. God is giving Moses the authority and the power to actually speak and command for Pharaoh to do something. Now, what was Moses really going back to? Because let's not forget Moses' story. It's one of complexity. Like we said, it's one of doubt. It's one of excuses. We watch Moses as a baby get sent down the river in a basket to escape death. We see him as he gets older, his anger and frustration gets the best of him, and he actually murders a man and flees to the wilderness. He's trying to run away from Egypt, but God keeps calling him back. Moses isn't being sent somewhere that nobody knows anything about him, that he gets a fresh slate. Moses isn't going back as a hero, as a conqueror, with a bunch of confidence and eloquence. God is not calling Moses because he's perfect. God's calling Moses because he wants to use his brokenness to show that God has unbroken power. There's a quote by a man named William J. Toms that I love. It says, "Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some person ever reads." When I first read that, it kind of took like the air out of my lungs, because wow, that's a big, profound statement. Be careful how you live. Not someone else, you live. You may be the only Bible some person ever reads. This reminded me of a verse in 1 John 4. I don't have it on the screen, but I'll read it for you. It says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. For many people, they may never open the Bible. They may never flip through the pages of Scripture. But they may pay attention to your life, to the choices that you make, to the reactions that you have, to your demeanor, to your attitude, to the way that you show up in the situations that you find yourself in. We may be the only Bible some people ever read. And so I wonder, what story are people reading in you? If we think about our lives as a movie trailer, what would people see? And more importantly, what kind of Jesus do people see in me? Now, I brought up my brother and love that guy. His name's Parker. And my junior year of college, I transferred to a school over on the west side here. And there was like a loophole that if you were a new student, no matter what grade you were in, you had to live in the dorms. I was not about to do that. I'm going to be honest. The people that live in dorms, I know you guys make lifelong friends. It's amazing. I love that for you. But I was just not feeling it. And so there was a loophole that if you lived with a relative, you could live off campus. And so my brother, he was going to a community college, and I just so lovingly said, Parker, you should come with me. Like, let's get an apartment. What could go wrong? This will be awesome. And so I talked him into it. We moved in to our apartment. And there's just something really weird that happens when you live with an adult sibling. Because there's no, like, leader, I guess. There's no parents. There's no one telling you to do the dishes or like, hey, Parker, your laundry's been in the washer for like 5 days. Like, you're gonna have to redo that. It's kind of gross. But there's nobody to actually, like, tell you what to do. And so I bet you can imagine there was a little bit of tension in our household once in a while. But as I got to the west side, I was going to a Christian school. I was leading some Bible studies there. And on the outside, I looked like I had it all together. I was a student athlete. I was making new friends. And making friends as an adult is, like, really hard. It's hard to put yourself out there and make new friends. When you're little, you just, like, go play on the playground, and it's fine. You're besties by the end. And I just remember being in a really weird spot when I moved here. I felt like my heart was just kind of restless. I felt lonely. I kind of started to just make all of these busy plans to distract myself. Work, volleyball. I had some pretty unhealthy relationships at that time. And when I looked in the mirror, I really was not happy with who I was. I wasn't very kind. I just lacked a sense of joy. Maybe you've been there. You feel like you're just going through the motions every single day. That was me. I'd grown up in church. I loved the Lord. But when I got over here, I didn't really get connected to the local church. I wasn't having any personal time or encounters with Jesus. I didn't really find myself in true community. And so I was pretty much a mess, to be honest. And my brother, one night, I'll never forget this conversation that we had. It was about 10 years ago now, which is crazy. But he sat me down, and like I said, he's my brother, so he didn't have like a cup of coffee waiting for me and say like, hey, sis, like, let's talk. But it wasn't like that, okay? But what he said to me, essentially, was, hey, Ashley, who you claim to be and who you are very different people. He was essentially telling me that there was a pretty big gap in who I was presenting myself to be. And that's not an easy thing to hear. But what it did was it actually made me think about who God had called me to be. And it gave me the opportunity to really sit in the fact that God actually wanted to use my brokenness, pieces of my story, to show love and grace to others. And that's a journey I'm still walking, like a lot of you. What kind of Jesus do people see in me? God's call to Moses echoed in our own lives. This call to be ambassadors of Christ. There's a verse in Corinthians that says it this way: we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Because the truth is, you're not just a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or a friend or a coworker. You have the opportunity to be an encouragement to every person you come in contact with. When you go to work, you get to be an undercover agent of love and kindness and compassion. When you show up at school, you are a representative of God in the hallway, in your chemistry class, in the gym. Because when you walk in, hope walks in. When you show up, love shows up. That's who you are. You are an ambassador of Christ. How you love represents the kingdom of heaven. Now, maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you haven't had the best interaction with people who claim to be Christ followers. Me too. And I've been one, right? We all have had some moment, maybe in the church parking lot or at the grocery store, where it makes us wonder and it makes us question someone's intentions. Maybe this morning you're sitting here like Moses, feeling inadequate, maybe questioning your worth. Maybe you're struggling with some shame and guilt that you are still holding on to. That I want to tell you this morning, the grace of God already covers. Maybe you can relate to my story. Maybe right now you feel like there's a gap in between who you are and who you know God is inviting you to be, who God is calling you to be. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling like your heart and your mind is a little bit of a mess. And maybe you relate to Parker this morning. Maybe you see other people who claim to know Jesus, but their life is very far from the gospel. And it has left you confused, maybe frustrated, maybe even hurt. I believe that God is not looking for perfection, but he is looking for us to answer the call. And I think there's four calls that God is calling us to. The first is the call to integrity. I want to put a quote on the screen that says, if we live with integrity, nothing else matters. If we don't live with integrity, nothing else matters. Now, I found this quote and I showed it to Austin and he was like, what? So I'm going to read it one more time. If we live with integrity, nothing else matters. If we don't live with integrity, nothing else matters. What is this saying? Essentially, integrity is what forms the foundation of who we are. It is who we are at the dinner table. Is it the same person that we show up to as at work? Is it the same person when we're hanging out with our friends? Sometimes living with integrity means having some really hard conversations. Sometimes living with integrity means taking a different approach to a situation than we may like to. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus reminds us to really take account and take inventory of ourselves before looking at others, before judging someone else, to really just take a gut check moment to say, how am I doing? And sometimes this looks like involving somebody that we're very close with. Whether it's a sibling, whether it's your spouse on the way home, a good friend, ask them, what do you see in me? Are you seeing the same person at the dinner table that you see when we're with our friends, that you see when we're at church on Sunday? What do you see of me? And those can be hard moments, but they can also be some of the most transformative moments in our lives if we allow them to be. God is calling us to something better. God is calling us to be true ambassadors for him. The second is the call to love. In Colossians, it says it this way, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. bear with each other, and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, these are not just traits or things that sound good. They're the actual essence of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. Our kindness can actually restore someone's dignity because of the way that we love them. We love them as Jesus loves them, not because of their situation, but because they are a child of God. This morning, I wonder if someone comes to your mind that needs your kindness to help restore their dignity, that needs your love in action. Because that is what God calls us to. He calls us to a love that is mobile. Not an emotion, not a feeling, but something that we actually do, something that we actually act upon. Paul calls us to bear with one another. What might this look like? If you are trying to be like God to someone in their story, if we were to step into someone else's story, what would it look like to truly bear with one another? To give them the opportunity to grow? Maybe they need an opportunity to grieve. Maybe they're going through a really tough divorce. Maybe they lost somebody that they really love. What would it look like for us to put our love into action? To send a text or pick up the phone and just go above and beyond to show that person that we care about them, and more importantly, that God cares about them and he sees them. When I think of love, I think of the words that we speak. In Proverbs, it tells us that our tongue has the power of both life and death. And I'm not just talking about how we talk. I'm talking about what we type. I'm talking about what we post on social media. Are we a direct representation of God's love for the world? Because our world is in need of an amazing hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. Are we being true ambassadors to that call, to the call of love, to the call of grace? The third is the call to humility. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Now, this doesn't mean to think less of ourselves. We are children of God, but it does mean to think of ourselves less and to think of others more. Something I think about is generous assumptions. When we're at the grocery store and we are met with a cashier that maybe just doesn't look super friendly today, what if we actually took a second out of our own situation and thought about maybe what they're walking through? Maybe they got some really bad news before they started their shift. Maybe this is their third job that they've been to this week because they just can't make the bills. We see Jesus demonstrate this so well as he washes the feet of his disciples. We serve a God of service, not of status. And that is the same thing that he is calling us to. He is calling us to step outside of ourselves and to really look up at others. It's so easy for us to stay down in our phones or in our own things that we have going on. And it's important. It's important to take care of ourselves so that we're not pouring out of an empty cup. But God calls us to humility. The fourth is the call to action. I would say this is maybe one of the most important ones. We say it this way around here a lot, that we take next steps. We are always moving towards what God is calling us to. James 2:17 reminds us that in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Our faith is not meant to just get picked up on Sundays or during our small group throughout the week. It's our relationship with Jesus that makes us act and makes us move towards other people. My mom used to say to me as a high schooler, we choose how we act. Normally at about 6 a.m. when I'm sitting in the back of the car on the way to school. And I would so lovingly tell her that I'm choosing to act this way. I'm choosing to be grumpy. I'm choosing to be not a morning person. And then she so lovingly reminded me after first service that it didn't end there. It was actually we choose how we act and react. I told her I left that out because it's too much. Can only do the first part. But it's so true. We have an opportunity to choose the way that we act. We don't always get to choose our situations and our circumstances, but we do get to choose how we react to them. And the way we react to them, people are watching. And I know that some people that I have watched that are just incredible followers of Christ, I have seen them be faithful in some really hard seasons. And that has encouraged me in my walk with God. And so if you're in a hard season, I just want to encourage you this morning to stay faithful, to keep taking next steps, that God is there, that he's with you, that he's calling you. Now, the good news this morning, I love this verse. A lot of you have probably seen it or heard it as a young child, or maybe this is the first time. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Whoever. God wants to call each and every one of us, just like Moses. Moses was flawed. He doubted. And still, God called him. God called him to go back to something that was not easy, to something that was challenging. What is God calling you to this year? What would look different in your family, in our community, in our church, if we took these calls seriously? If we did our best to show up the best version of ourselves everywhere we go, every single day. Now, the best version of yourself, it might look different some days. When we're going through something challenging, we might show up differently than when things are going well. But God's got that. He wants to carry that for you. Now, maybe today you feel distant from God. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody that was supposed to show love to you, and they didn't. And I want to tell you this morning that I am really sorry for that. It's painful to be in those spots. But I also want to remind you that God sees your situation, that he sees you, and that he's still calling you. Even in our questions, even in our doubt, he loves you and he is always, always chasing after you. Maybe in 2024, your life was just really busy and you kind of put God on a shelf. I want to invite you this year. He's calling you back. He's calling you to him. He's calling you to a purpose and a plan that he has for your life, for you specifically. What would it look like if we go into this week and to this year with the call of integrity? The call of love, the call of humility, and the call to action. In just a second, we're going to sing a song. I heard it about a week ago as I was preparing for this morning, and I sent it to Ken's, and I was like, what are the odds we can do this? And of course, because she's awesome, she said we can do it. And I just wonder what it would look like for this song to be our prayer, to be our reminder this year. It's called "The Lord Will Provide." Everything we need, our Father has it. Those are some of the lyrics. And so whether you're somebody who loves to sing as loud as you can or just kind of let words speak over you, I just want to encourage you this morning to remember that even those days when we don't feel like we have it, when we don't feel like we can show up in the situations that we're in with the true love of Christ, to be true ambassadors, I want to remind you that God's got it, that he has everything you need. And when you allow him to, when you answer the call, he will use it, that he is not done with you yet.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.